what I was intending to do tonight. So if we think about our six steps to strengthen a weakened will, John, can you see that in green over there? Do I need to choose a different color?
Use black.
Better?
Yeah.
Okay, so we talked about in six steps to strengthen a weakened will, we've talked about get healthy as the first of those steps. We broke it down when on the day we did the six steps to strengthen a weakened will, we broke get healthy into four key components. And those four key components were sleep, eat, move, and gratitude. Now, there are some reasons that we've been doing this coaching session for more than a decade. And one of the reasons for that is people in a state of weakened will frequently have a health concern that is eroding their will. And if not, the other side is certainly true. People with a health concern are frequently in a state of weakened will. So we're not suggesting that a weakened will leads to health problems, nor do we say that we have correlation research to say that there is that when you have a weakened health condition, it leads to a state of weakened will. So though it's not correlational research, though it's not causal research, there's certainly correlational research, enough to suggest that if you're in a state of poor health, it erodes your will, your desire to perform. That's why we started doing this coaching session. Griffin Hill, as a human and organizational performance firm, began to realize that poor health would erode performance. Once you've eroded will, you erode performance and achievement and results. And that meant it weakened individual performers and organizational performers. Hence, this coaching session. Well, as part of that, as we got into the research on sleep and gratitude, these are pieces we had already been doing. That the research on sleep, which we attended to last week. If you did not get that, I think it's a terrific coaching session, well worth the review. And gratitude, which may be the nearest thing to a miracle drug associated with human performance. So we had been doing coaching sessions on these two pieces for some time. So it just made sense knowing what we knew already about their connection to health and wellness, both physical and emotional, to include them along with eat and move. Now, also remember this, that when we talked about eat and move, well, get healthy, this was all about a target audience who existed in a state of weakened will. They were already tired. They were already exhausted. They were worn out mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually. And so we had to reach out to do something that was at the lowest common denominator, something simple enough that everyone could do it. And so hence the way we worded these. Sleep, everyone can sleep. Eat, we can all eat. Move, we can all move. And then gratitude. We can figure out how to engage gratitude exercises. So this was at the very simplest level. Well, last week we got into a little bit more detail on sleep. Tonight we're going to do a little bit more detail on eat. So as we think about this notion of eat, there are wonderful weight loss programs out there available in the marketplace. There's Weight Watchers, there's Nutrisystems. All of these are commercially available mechanisms, programs to facilitate primarily weight loss. Why? Well, because the number one cause of disease and sickness, poor health, in America today is lifestyle choices associated with primarily weight gain. Hence, weight loss becomes a commercially viable message that people are interested in. So all of these, we salute them. We think there are some great pieces about them, but it's not just the programs. The research on diet and nutrition has proliferated. So there are all kinds of different diet thought processes out there that have been written about and that are also marketed and sold actively. So you might see things like vegan diets or vegetarian diets. Those are lifestyle choices about eating that, again, are rooted in primarily, first, good health, but also, particularly for veganism and vegetarianism, some sense of social cause associated with them as well. Again, we honor those kinds of choices and decisions and mechanisms. There is so much good research embedded in the dietary information and writings about vegan diets and vegetarian diets. It doesn't end there. You've all seen things like keto diets or paleo diets or intermittent fasting diets. There are all kinds of mechanisms out there all around this notion of eat. Now, remember when we started this in the context of strength and a weakened will, we kept it really simple because it had to be simple enough that everyone could do it. Well, when we now break it apart from the notion of six steps to strengthen a weakened will, then we're going to talk about a little bit more discipline and a little bit more detail and a little bit greater depth about eating tonight. Now, many of you out there, we could think of Braden and Sydney Evans, we could think of Georgia, and most of you are just really healthy. When we think of body composition, if we were to do body mass index or smart body mass index on you, you'd find that you're in a very healthy and acceptable range. So why then, if you're already healthy, should you care about eating? It's because this is what Sixth Dimension is all about. It's about personal growth and development, certainly. But it's also about helping others, lifting them, encouraging them. Think about people in your circle of influence. Think about your friends. Think about peers from high school, college. Think about your roommates. Think about people that you associate with in the workplace. Everything about our society has created confusion about eating. And that confusion has led to increasingly poor dietary habits that have contributed to poor health among American adults. And not just American adults, but let's start here. Now, keep in mind that your motivation here is, number one, get the oxygen mask on yourself first. But number two, help and lift and build other people. That's why we're doing this tonight, so that you can be of use to yourself, get the oxygen mask on yourself first, but then you can be of use and help to other people around this very important principle of eating and body composition. Well, here's what we know. If the number one cause of disease, poor health, even death in America today is lifestyle choices, that starts with what we ingest. It might be alcohol or smoking, certainly those impact as well. But it's easy to look at those and say, man, there ought to be a sin tax on alcohol and tobacco. And in fact, there is. But there isn't such a thing on the way we eat. And we won't talk about MOVE yet, but we're focusing on the way we eat. It is more the way we eat that is creating many of those problems, including heart disease, including type 2 diabetes, including obesity, which leads to a plethora of other health problems. So as we start here, keep in mind people in your circle of influence who are interested in reclaiming good health, or people who have eroded their own health to the point that they've just given up. How do you help them? How do you lift them? How do you begin? Well, in the strengthen the weakened will version of this, we talk about eat in terms of look. At very least, you've got to get your 5 servings of vegetables and fruits. And I put it that we usually say fruits and vegetables, but I said it that way because we emphasize vegetables here. And that is the case. So if we look at the evidence of eroding health from lifestyle choices, in 1960, fewer than 1 in 7 people were obese. Today in America, among American adults, today it's 1 in 3 American adults are obese. Now, obesity is a medical definition. If your body mass index is 30 or above, let's see, actually it's, Sid, check me here. Is it 26 and above or is it 30 and above? I think it's 30 and above for obesity on body mass index. If you're 30 and above, you're obese. If you're 25 and above, you're overweight. So you've got that range of 25 to 30, you're overweight. And then over 30, this is now the clinical definition or the scientific definition of obesity. Today, 1 in 3 Americans are obese. And obesity leads to heart disease, type 2 diabetes, poor quality of life. Tonight, what we're going to talk about in terms of eat is all about reclaiming your energy, reclaiming your will, reclaiming your ability to move, reclaiming your ability and capacity to achieve, strengthening your will in ways that you haven't even perhaps anticipated. Now, as you know, we're preparing to launch a study. We're gathering all kinds of sponsors to this study. It's going to be very exciting. As you think about that set of people among your friends who have incipient heart disease because of weight issues, who might have incipient diabetes issues. They're either pre-diabetic or they're full-blown type 2 diabetic. Or they just are not happy, they're not able to move. Look, I think I've made this decision that we're going to accept into the study non-sixth dimension members and partners for purposes of the study. We'll take up to 100 people in this study. Part of what we now believe as we've been doing some tests on our hypotheses, let me just give you the example of one person, one individual. As we had talked with her before about sleep, eat, move, gratitude, she would say, I can't even do number one. I cannot sleep because when I go to bed at night, I have such intense leg pain that I just cannot sleep. And so if you're telling me I have to be able to sleep to be able to recover my health, that discourages me even further because I have such intense leg pain, I can't even begin to conquer sleep. Well, we got her involved in where we're going with this dietary research, the eat portion of our research, and within 2 days, leg pain gone. Leg pain gone. She'd been to the doctor. She'd gone to try numerous things to say, what is causing this? And nobody could identify either the cause or really anything that would alleviate the symptoms. Within 2 days, all of that leg pain gone. Now, she's got 4 children, so I'm not telling you she's sleeping. But if she's not sleeping, it's not because of the leg pain. Here's the next thing that we discovered. In the very first week, she lost 5.7 pounds. We just completed the second week. She called me yesterday morning to report, I'm down another 3.4 pounds. What's going to happen in the other in this upcoming week? Is it going to be down to 1 pound a week, or am I going to continue to lose weight at this pace? And I project that she will be down another 3 to 5 pounds this week. Now, here's the amazing thing. I asked her, are you having any kind of hunger pains or desiring to eat more? Oh, no. I'm eating more than I can possibly eat. Now, I'm not eating sugar, so I do want some of that, but it's changing her life. Well, that's our hypothesis here. We believe that we are going to be able to take your friends, your near family, your associates, and greatly, rapidly, within a 30-day experiment, put their feet on the path to better health. Does that mean they'll be cured of all things, including cancer? No, that's not what we're saying. But what we are saying is that poor eating habits will lead to all of those problems, and our early test results suggest that we're going to be able to clear mind fog, we're going to be able to think more clearly, we're going to improve hair, nails, and skin, we're going to improve body mass index, which is among the leading indicators of good health or poor health, depending on where your measures are. So if we're going to start with eat, we've got to start with macronutrients. And macronutrients simply means this. There are three basic types of nutrients that your body needs: carbohydrates, proteins, and fats. Now, here's what we know about carbohydrates, proteins, and fats in terms of calories. We know that carbohydrates, for every gram of carbohydrate, it's 4 calories. For every gram of protein, it's 4 calories. For every gram of fat, 225% of a gram of protein or a gram of carbohydrates, which makes dietitians say, whoa, 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 don't eat fats, for heaven's sakes, because if you do, you're going to get 225% of the calories that you would get from eating proteins or carbohydrates. So as a result, we've gone through this period in our nation where we've driven fat out of natural foods. And when we drive fat out, John Nebaker, okay, I'm sorry, I'm just rambled here. John, when we drive fat out of food, what do we do to the taste?
We lose the flavor.
We lose the flavor. So, John, what have we done to food in order to make it flavorful if we're taking fat out?
Oh, we pepper and salt, and we do all kinds of things on it.
We've just put so many artificial ingredients in there, including things like MSG, including things, we could start with MSG and the kinds of things that MSG does to the body, but including things like sugar. What did you say the other night, Sydney? I think I heard you say a cup full of sugar makes the medicine go down. Is that what you told me?
No, that's what I told you.
That's what Braden told me. It takes a cup full of sugar to make the medicine go down. Well, that's what we've been doing. We've been putting sugar by the cupfuls into our diet in order to make it flavorful. Here's what we've done as a result. We've increased fat. Because as soon as we put that much carbohydrate, sugar, into our glucose, into our systems, we spike blood glucose, blood sugar. And when we spike blood sugar, we start doing all kinds of bad things to our body. Food is not just calories, though I have been in that camp for most of my life. Food is more than calories. Food is information. So when you send carbohydrate calories into the body and it spikes blood sugar, what you inform the body is store fat. We're getting an excess of energy. We've got to store that energy some way. Start for storing fat as fast as possible. That's the information that we're giving to our bodies. Well, Here's the problem with that. When we start spiking blood sugar, we start doing some damage to insulin. We start becoming insulin resistant. So, Sydney Evans, if we continue to spike blood sugar and become insulin resistant, what does that lead to?
She just stepped out on an emergency call, actually.
Okay, well, then we'll let her go on an emergency call. Type 2 diabetes. That's why we have to artificially put insulin into our bodies. We become insulin resistant. Why? Because we've told our bodies now we're going to keep giving you sugar because we've decided that fat is bad for you. Well, one of the things that we've decided fat is bad for you is because it sounds like the same word. We eat fat, we've got fat. So therefore, if we're eating fat, it must clearly go to fat. Not true. That they are the same word has no correlation. Eating fat does not create inherently fat in your body. Quite the contrary. Eating fat is a source of energy that causes you to not need as many calories elsewhere. Okay, so we've talked about these three macronutrients: carbohydrates, proteins, and fats. And what we have done is tried to drive fat out of our diet in favor of carbohydrates, which has created our health problems. Now, we think about carbohydrates in terms of sugar. So, what did we do then? We went to artificial sweeteners. Do artificial sweeteners alter the information that we give our bodies? No. Here's the amazing thing. We changed the number of calories with artificial sweeteners, but we didn't change the information that we're sending our body. We're still spiking blood sugar. It's still creating insulin resistance. It's still creating the store fat in direction to our bodies. And it is becoming the number one cause of obesity, type 2 diabetes, and heart disease. So when we think about, let's go back to 1960, only one in seven was obese. In 2000, well, 2008, I think was the last one I looked at, one in three are obese in America today. One in three. In 1980, type 2 diabetes among children was basically unheard of. In 2004, I think it was, I last looked, one in 10 is now either pre-diabetic or has full-blown type 2 diabetes. All of that because of the way we started to behave around these three macronutrients. So if you look at people who talk about macronutrients, you're going to see things like this. You're going to see things like 40, 40, 20. By that, they mean 40% of your calories should come from carbohydrates, 40% of your calories should come from proteins, and 20% of your calories should come from fats. You might even see some things that look like this: 40, 50, 10. So that only 10% of your calories are coming from fats, 50% coming from your carbohydrates. I'm going to suggest to you that based on our Get Healthy, Stay Healthy study, you would want to reverse these numbers. Now, I'm going to give you some ranges, much like we deal with range goals. But I'm going to suggest to you that your fats, calories from fats, should be between 40 and 50%. Now, when I say calories from fats, I mean good fats. So many people out there are saying, wow, can't I eat an avocado? Because with one avocado, I'm going to get more than 10% of my calories from fats right out of the chute. Well, I'm telling you that you ought to be eating avocados. You look at some diets, things not like paleo, where they're telling you to eat more seeds and nuts, but they would say, yes, you can have almonds on this diet. You can have seven almonds. I'm telling you, you ought to eat maybe a couple of hands full of almonds, cashews, walnuts, pecans, macadamia nuts every day. Those are good, healthy fats. If you're making a green smoothie or even a fruit smoothie, you ought to be including flaxseed, ground flaxseed. You ought to be including hemp seed. Why? Because they have healthy fats. It is your omega-3 fats that you're going to get from omega-3 eggs and from your flaxseed and from your hemp seed that's going to, those omega-3 fats are what fight heart disease. So all this stuff that we've been talking about, drive the fats out of your diet, make you more subject to heart disease. Poor health. We then offset that by putting in all the carbohydrates, and you're in trouble. Well, so I'm going to say you ought to have 40 to 50% here, and then maybe 20 to 30% here, and then up here, 10 to, oh, you could go as high as 30. I try to keep mine at about 20%. Now, think about this. If you're going to cut that much out here, anybody know the RDA? John does. John, do you remember what the RDA for carbohydrates, the recommended daily amount for carbohydrates for a male of your size would be?
Was it? Did they say 300 some odd?
300. So it's recommended that you get 300 grams of carbohydrates. John, you're exactly right. So now based on what we know here, that a gram of carbohydrates is 4 calories, they're basically saying 1,200 calories from carbohydrates. Now, if you're going to, on what we're recommending here, remember when we said eat 5 servings of vegetables and fruits. Try to get 5 of vegetables. If you add your fruits on top of that, that would be great. When we talk about eating in this way, what we're saying is, eat unlimited amounts of a whole bunch of vegetables, as much as you want. Eat as much as you want of asparagus or broccoli or kale or spinach. Eat as much as you want of summer squash, zucchini. Eat as much as you want of Brussels sprouts, as much as you want, unlimited amounts. But here's the amazing thing. I eat at least, well, let me think, 300. I eat at least 3 servings of vegetables with every meal. That means I'm getting 9 servings of vegetables at least every day. But you know what? The maximum number of carbs I'm getting is someplace around 100 grams, not the 300 that is the recommended daily allowance. The only way you can get to 300 is to fuel in sugar. That's the only way you can get to that number. If you stop eating sugar and start eating unlimited amounts of non-starchy vegetables, you cannot eat enough to get to 300 grams of carbohydrates. So everything that we're doing, so John, what do you suspect? If I'm getting 9 servings of vegetables as a minimum every day, does that sound like healthy eating to you?
Sure.
Yeah, this is eat good whole foods. And abundantly. And that's why, as we've been doing our little shape our hypothesis tests, that we're getting such favorable results of, I never get hungry. And if I were to score what I ate today on Weight Watchers, I'd have been out of balance with my points at breakfast because I had 3 omega eggs, I had an avocado, and I had 100 grams of spinach for breakfast. Why? Because that's healthy eating. So there's the next part, protein. This is what protein does for you. Protein fuels metabolism. You should never start your day with orange juice again. That spikes blood sugar and tells your body to start storing fat. If you start your day with protein, it fuels, it gears up the metabolism system. That's what protein does. Protein engages thermogenesis, is what we talk about here. It's metabolic heat. That's what protein does. Stimulates metabolic heat. When you stimulate metabolic heat, that means we're burning calories at a better rate than ever before. And when you start your day by fueling up your metabolism to burn, you're better off. So I just described a typical breakfast for me: 3 omega-3 eggs, 100 grams of spinach, a full avocado, a handful of almonds. That's a typical breakfast for me. And as a result, you'll lose weight. That's the astonishing thing. You'll eat healthier and you'll lose weight. So if we go to fat, we talked about protein in terms of the protein role is to stimulate metabolism. But the other job of protein inside the body is replicate DNA. If you don't want to have a DNA that goes awry someplace, that's part of what can create disease, then you've got to give it enough protein. But fats suppress appetite. Well, as does protein to a degree, but the other thing that fats do is that they fuel the brain. Fats are changed by a mechanism known as gluconeogenesis. It can also be known as neoglucogenesis, but when you look up that term, it's probably going to refer you back to gluconeogenesis. That fats you're going to turn into glucose. That's what your liver does. Your liver is going to turn fats into glucose so that it can be used to move your muscles. That's what you're going to do. Now, you've heard of the carbo load that marathon runners go through or athletes. Do you realize that your liver and your muscles can only store around 2,000 calories of energy from glucose? That's it. The storage place for glucose, glycogen, is your liver and your muscles. It can only store about 2,000 calories. So if you're going to run a marathon, that will take you about 20 miles. What do you do with the other 6.2? How is it possible that you get another 6.2 miles if you maxed out your load of glycogen in your muscles and liver? Well, it's because your body turns fat into glycogen for use as energy. That's the power. Fat is energy. What we're finding here is when people eat whole natural foods with low glucose limits, then it changes everything about energy. Energy goes up. Brain fog clears. They have more capacity and desire to move than ever before. Okay, look, that's what we mean by eat. What I'm suggesting that you do tonight is, again, start making that list. Who would you like to invite to be part of the study? I'm going to take up to 100 participants in the study. If you want your friends, near family members, or your neighbors in the study, you get that name down. You start making the list. In fact, I think I've made the decision that you're going to all get the course, which is going to be the benefit of the study. But I think we won't have members in the study. We've already vitiated the pool with you. So we're going to have people who are unvitiated. That's one thing that you can do. Second thing that you can do, that we have really focused on macronutrients today. Just start doing this. Go to your Achievement Hub, go to My Dimensions, I think it is, and under Health at the bottom, you've got Tools. Download MyFitnessPal. So that's a second recommendation. First, make a list of friends and family, neighbors that you want to introduce this to, either in terms of sixth dimension or the study itself. Second, go to My Dimensions, the Health Dimension, down under Tools, download My Fitness Pal. It's a free app. Now, I don't know that there might come a time that we recommend a paid app, but we're trying to find the very best resources for you at no cost to you. My Fitness Pal is an app that I've used for more than 5 years, and it's just terrific. So that's recommendation number two. Recommendation number three, get an electronic food scale. They're really inexpensive. You're going to find it for probably $20 or less at some place like Kohl's or Target, an electronic food scale. That's recommendation number three. Recommendation number four, start measuring on that electronic food scale everything that you eat and record it in MyFitnessPal. If you'll just do the recordation, MyFitnessPal is going to do all the macronutrient calculations. It's going to tell you how many grams of carbohydrates, how many grams of protein, and how many grams of fat are in your diet. It's going to give you also some micronutrient information that will be fascinating to you. But for now, we're thinking only about the macronutrients, carbohydrates, protein, and fats. So get the scale, measure. So here are the steps so far. Write the names of friends. Download MyFitnessPal. Begin to record. So get an electronic scale. Record what you eat in MyFitnessPal. Don't worry about where you ought to be for now. Just record, and then I'll be happy to answer any questions that you've got. Look, if we're going to have any hope of achieving at the very best level, at the highest possible level, if we want to have any hope of living our lives at the greatest level of happiness and enjoyment and fitness, the way we eat will make a big difference, and it will naturally lead your body to better health. Okay, we were talking about your body has the capacity to store around 2,000 calories of glycogen. That'll take you 20 miles. Where does the rest come from? From fat. That's the real energy source in your body. So if we can store 2,000 grams or 2,000 calories of glycogen, sugar, carbohydrates, I've got in my body excess fat. I'm in a fit range, but I've nevertheless got excess fat to the tune of about 100,000 calories. Now, which is going to take me further? The 100,000 calories of storage that I have in fat in my body, or the 2,000 that I might get by a carbo load the night before an event? As we learn to teach our bodies how to burn fat instead of sugar, it will elevate our performance. Okay, now again, for many of you, it's why am I thinking about this? I'm fit. I'm not worried about my weight or my body composition. I don't worry about the brain fog. It's not affecting my performance. Well, certainly it starts with you. We want to get you the oxygen mask on you first, give you all the tools that will help you to outcompete your peers of equal ability. It's a competitive world. We want to give you the edge. But second of all, sixth dimension is all about helping other people. So that was hence recommendation number one. Think of your friends, your near family, neighbors in your community. Who do you think might be interested? Okay, take a minute, reflect and write. What here stood out to you? Where did you hear an idea or a concept that you go, man, I'm not sure I understood that, but I'm starting to get some principles here. I want to know more. Where did you hear maybe 3 to 5 things that stood out to you? Record them. What do you want to have happen in your life? This is all good high-performance journal stuff. One thing that you're willing to do, it might have been, I'm going to make that list of names. It might have been, I'm going to get the download of MyFitnessPal from the Achievement Hub website. It might have been, I'm going to go get my electronic scale, food scale. It might have been, I'm committed to start recording in MyFitnessPal, measuring and recording in MyFitnessPal everything I eat. What commitments did you make to yourself? Take a few minutes, reflect and write. I'll give you a minute to do that, and then we'll come back. Okay, I hope you've had a chance to reflect and write. Chris, I'd love to hear from you. What one thing that stood out to you tonight, Chris? Okay, it looked like you unmuted, but I still can't hear you. Georgia, what about you? One thing that stood out for you tonight.
Well, two things stood out. First was that word brain fog, because I think I've been in a brain fog for months here. And weak-willed, when you said the weak-willed, I thought, man, he's talking to me tonight. He might as well just said, hey, Georgia, this is your personal coaching session. I don't have a weight issue. I don't care about eating issue. I don't pay attention to what I'm eating. I grab a snack. I'm not regular on my eating. I'm very undisciplined. Don't have a good appetite a lot of times. So I think for me, my takeaway is to pay attention, to be mindful that I should eat something. If I don't eat in the morning, I don't really care. I don't eat till noon, maybe, you know, grab a cracker. I'm really bad. I eat some good things, but I'm not consistent. So for me was the commitment to pay attention, writing it down, what I'm going to have, making a menu for myself, writing it down, and following the menu.
Wow, Georgia, I love that. And Georgia, let me tell you why I really hope that you follow through on. For all of you that know Georgia, Georgia does not have, if Georgia has a body composition issue, it's that she's skinny. She's teeny little lady, and that's why she doesn't worry about her weight. And yet, Georgia, I love the fact that what I care about for you is I want you to be healthy. I want you to be strong. I want you to have, look, do you realize that about 70%, I think it's 60 to 70% of your brain is fat? And so if we're not feeding our brains the fuel that it needs, then we're going to have brain fog. So I love that you had some powerful discoveries here that are useful. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you.
Hey, John, anything for you tonight?
Oh, I have a lot of things. I'm learning a lot. I appreciate that. I guess I just didn't realize the fat's so powerful, that the fat is where you create so much of your energy. That's exciting. Now, I eat a lot of fruits and vegetables. In fact, I actually have Juice Plus. I throw that in too. So I get these extra powerful supplements of 17 fruits and vegetables every day in a capsule form. But besides that, I eat a lot. But what was fascinating to me is that the fat is producing 100,000 calories. What a powerful storage that is. I would like to learn how to utilize that more for my energy. Yes.
You know, so if you just think about this, the essential fat in a male is about 4%, but you're still considered fit up to 25% of your body being fat. So let's just stop there. So John, so that I can show you where this comes from, that means that up to 20%, if I'm considered fit, that means up to 25%, but 4 of that is essential fat that my body needs to keep. That means I've got 20% that is burnable. 20%, well, I weigh 200 pounds, so that means that 40 pounds of that is consumable. That's consumable energy in my body. 40 pounds. Well, about 4.45359 is the conversion rate to kilograms. So if I just say, oh, 40%, 50% of that, a little less than 20 pounds or 20 kilograms of that. So you can start getting here where I'm going. I've got more than 100,000 calories of consumable energy just in my fat stores. Yeah, that's a great takeaway. Okay, look, wonderful participation. Thank you very much. Let me just give you a couple of heads up. Do we have guests with us tonight who are looking for information about, okay, I like what I'm hearing about lifestyle and choices and the freshest insights and science out there today? That's what we bring you. So if you've got guests who are with you tonight, I want to make sure that we share with them how they get involved. But if we don't have guests, what I'd like to do is just share with you some dates of upcoming events where you could invite guests. Any guests with us tonight?
There is a Rob that was here for a while, I see, and then he left. I don't know who Rob is. Is that with somebody that knows who he is?
Okay, if there was a Rob separate, he's not on now, so.
Yeah, he left. He left early, but it was a Rob is all it said.
If somebody invited Rob, he was on for a while tonight. That's good. If there aren't guests, I won't spend time talking about opportunity other than to say, these are some of the things that I think that we could profitably do in lieu of just talking about the business side of the opportunity. We could have these kinds of discussions in our homes, where we would talk about the research on sleep, or the research on eat, or the research on move, or the research on gratitude, or the research on goals and goal setting. To talk about any one of those topics would be very rich, and to talk about how it's connected inside of Sixth Dimension is just a wonderful and very safe way to invite friends and family and neighbors to your home. So we want to do this in normal and natural ways. And when they're there, we don't want to ambush them and jump into the business side opportunity meeting, but we want to be clear about this is what Sixth Dimension is all about. Sixth Dimension is all about elevating, stacking the odds in favor of our own success, of having a rich and abundant life. And here are some illustrations. Gratitude Theory Day, to spend 45 minutes to an hour just talking about gratitude and its role in our lives. Just a wonderful way to invite people to participate. I know that Sydney had an emergency and they had to drop off, but we've got two events scheduled for them at my home. So this coming Saturday, the 22nd, and the following Saturday, the 29th, both at my home, which if you don't have the address, I'll give it to you now. Here you go. 2545 North, 460 East in Provo. That's near the Missionary Training Center or the old Provo Temple. So if you needed a reference. Those will both be at 10 a.m. And they will be probably health-centric, I think is what Sydney and Braden Evans wanted us to do on those days. So we'd love to have everybody invite your guests. That would be delightful. Also, it's likely that next Tuesday, a week from tonight, we will also do a live group from my home. So we'll do this broadcast, but we will also have a live group there in my home participating as well. So you're invited to come either to my home or in your home for a coaching session next Tuesday, or to my home on Saturday the 22nd or Saturday the 29th. Both at 10 a.m. Anybody else? Georgia, we talked about finding another time where we can come down, spend some time with maybe Randall and Ted to make sure that we give them all the tools and skills that they need to be able to run regular meetings down there.
I haven't pinned them down. Ted and Tiffany are moving this week, and so she said they would be interested, but my schedule is the worst because my next four Saturdays I am working at the temple.
Okay. So
which is 2 o'clock, but you know, if I have to, I'll get a substitute, you know, for that. But let me talk to them. Yeah.
But look, Georgia, if we did a Friday night at your home, Fridays seem to be a good time for you, right?
Yeah.
So if and maybe what we could even do is do a Thursday night live from Henderson, Nevada for our entrepreneurship coaching, and then also a Friday night meeting for your group, or use that Friday as a way to help both Randall and Ted be prepared to do opportunity meetings. So a Thursday-Friday combination might make some sense.
Okay, I'll look at that. And then can you tell me, like, when I invite somebody to do this health study that you're going to do, how do they get a hold of someone to enroll in that?
Yeah, just if you wanted to have them, and that's a great point, Georgia. If you invited somebody to participate, I think we might expect them to have enough initiative to contact us in order to get in the study. We don't want to spend a lot of energy begging them. So I would say have them send an email to support@sixthdimension.com, sixth spelled out, support@sixthdimension.com, and give us all their contact information and say, I want to be in the study.
Okay, yeah, because do they need to live up there, or do they physically have to come back and forth, or is there somebody from Vegas could do that?
Yeah, I've anticipated that people would be close, but there's no reason for them to have to be. We can do all the instruction in exactly this way with them.
Okay, thank you.
So awesome, great question. Anybody else with questions tonight? I'll stay on as long as you've got questions. And Chris, I know there's a way, I don't have it up on my site, for you to type in questions or comments, and Sam is our AMP coach on duty. He'll get those comments, or you could call in and we could get them then. Right, Sam?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, Sam, tell, because Chris, I don't know what the deal is, but we just don't get a microphone from her. How does she make those comments?
In the lower left part of the screen, there's like a speech bubble. If you click that, it opens up a chat screen.
Awesome. There you go. Thank you. And I'll just stay on as long as Jonna, welcome home. How was Houston?
It was amazing. Amazing. I just enjoyed that baby, and my 6-year-old grandson ran me ragged and had a blitz. It was heaven.
How delightful. Well, welcome home. Would you make sure that you and Randall coordinate with Georgia? And let's get, I like the combination of a Thursday-Friday so that we can get Randall up to speed to be able to do meetings for your people down there. And let's get you launched.
Sounds wonderful.
Awesome.
Super.
Thank you. And then I'll just stay on if anybody else has questions.